Well, good morning. It's time to talk tech. Have some fun here in the studio with me, Adam Lepp. Adam, thecomputerguy.com. Thank you very much. We're not going to disappoint you. In fact, we're going to have at least one special guest today, in case you find me a bit boring or maybe sometimes a little too serious. That's okay. We have guests that are going to lighten up the show, provide some interesting information, and of course some opinions. If you'd like to be part of the Adam the Computer Guy show, a twice-weekly feature here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1, we'd love to have you. Your opinions on any technological topic are always more than welcome. We can debate. You can interview me. I can interview you. We can talk about the latest in smartwatches or smartphones or, goodness sakes, maybe even phones that aren't quite so smart. Always a cool thing. Send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com, or give me a call right now, 740-383-9944. Well, yes, the dial-up modem sound must mean that it's time once again. Be sure to visit our new and improved website. You can find out more about Scott Spears and Charlie Evers and a few other fine people. And you can also listen to archives of our shows. WWGH1071.com. Good morning. You are on the air with the Adam the Computer Guy show.
Adam, it's Harry.
Harry, good morning. Not Harry Yeprem Jr., one of my esteemed Facebook friends, a man with a wealth of knowledge and opinion, and an all-around fun guy.
I don't know about esteem, but hey, thanks. I'll take the compliment where I can get it.
Plus, we're almost about the same age, so I think we've seen a lot of changes in... we're both big Reds and Bengals fans, and kind of into sports, and following the politics of sports, as well as... the players and their athletic prowess, and
yep.
we've seen a lot of changes since we were kids back in the late part of the Stone Ages, and how social networking has influenced sports, influenced the Reds, etc.
Right.
We want to talk about that. You impressed me with your knowledge and your opinions. I mean, you're always interesting. Even if we don't agree, we can debate.
I must really have you buffaloed. I've never heard anyone be so flattering about my supposed knowledge, but once again, I'll take it and just say thanks.
No problem, Harry. I mean, we want to have people that provide interesting opinions, and even if we don't always agree, for example, we don't agree on the designated hitter rule. I can't stand it, but that's
right.
I'm
not so much for the designated hitter. I am just against both leagues operating with different rules, and it's aggravating when you have the National League team, or actually you have the American League team come into the National League City and they have to send their pitcher up there to hit, which obviously is an advantage for the NL team, but still it just seems so odd that this guy who's probably never swung a bat more than 10 or 15 times in his life, now all of a sudden has to bat, then you go to the AL City and you have to play by different rules there. It just becomes confusing. Well, not so much confusing, but just frustrating as far as I'm concerned. And I would just like to see it be uniform, that we have the same rules in both leagues and just go with it. That's so much my argument, and I just don't see the American League ever getting rid of the DH. So I'm just of the opinion, hey, why not just bring the DH into the NL and just make it uniform for both leagues?
Yeah, my opinion more is just remove it. As much as I like football, the unique thing about baseball, besides there not really being a clock, is that every player plays offense and defense, and the pitcher essentially plays three positions because baseball is kind of unique where the defense starts the play.
Well, I understand that. Actually, like I said, I agree with you. I actually don't like the DH. I'm not really a big fan of the DH. It's just they have the DH in the youth leagues. You don't see the pitcher bat in the minor leagues except for a rare occasion where you have two NL teams face each other, two NL affiliates face each other, and they decide to go ahead and let the pitcher bat. But other than that, you see the DH everywhere. So that's pretty much my argument. It's just time to bring it into the National League and quit having this cute little uniqueness of the NL not falling in line.
Well, and getting into an IT-related topic, Harry, we're both tired of hearing about the election. We're not going to talk about the presidential candidates.
We're not?
Because all right. the very thought means that I didn't bring enough coffee this morning. So let's talk about a more fun topic. Just had the Reds caravan, and spring training is starting in a couple weeks. So we're getting into the baseball swing of things, and goodness sakes, yesterday kind of seemed like baseball weather anyway. How do you feel, you know, as a social networking guru? How do you feel that social networking and people with their opinions, which certainly run the gamut, how is that influencing a possible decision to change rules in sports, whether it be a DH, whether it be penalties? For example, this was a while back, but allowing a 2-point after play in the NFL, as well as moving the field position back for trying the extra point. Rule changes that have affected professional and, of course, college sports. Harry, how has social networking and the advent of the information age changed the way that those things operate?
Well, obviously, it's an easy way to gauge interest. So I do think that plays some factor into the decision. Now, when the stuffed suits get into the boardroom in New York and actually make the decisions, I don't know how much Twitter and Facebook is actually brought up, but I would imagine it does play a role that they see spikes in conversation about things like the DH and spikes in conversation about things like the 2-point conversion rule in the NFL and moving the field goals back and things like that. I will say one thing was kind of odd now that you mention it. It seemed like about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the buzz was that Rob Manfred, the MLB commissioner, was really fanning the flames and being the drum for the DH. Now, within the past week, he seems to have backed off of that, and now he says not to look for the DH anytime soon in the NL. So, who knows, maybe the outcry from people like yourself actually played a factor into it, and they're deciding, hey, you know what, maybe NL fans don't want this, maybe we should back off. So there is something to be said about that.
Definitely, Harry. Do you think that the Facebook buzz and the Twitter buzz has affected Manfred's decision? I agree. It seemed like he was going to implement it, and suddenly no DH, and let alone
right.
Pete. We could discuss Pete all day, but let's start with the DH for now. How do you think that the buzz in social networking affected that decision?
Well, I think it may have played a factor. It may have played a factor, and they decided not to put it on the fast track, which, like I said, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, it seemed like it was on the fast track, and I actually was all for it, as we discussed earlier, but not so much now. I think eventually it will come into the National League, but not anytime soon, maybe 5-6 years out. The Pete Rose thing as well, I'm sure they have to notice all of the pro and con buzz about Pete. Obviously in this area, in Southwest Ohio, it's going to be pro. Outside of that, you still hear a lot of con. I mean, there are many, many out there who feel what the Reds are doing. I don't agree with it, but who feel what the Reds are doing with inducting Pete into their Hall of Fame, the Reds Hall of Fame, is a bad move and is a slap in the face of Major League Baseball. So you hear a lot of that too, but I think Manfred figured it was time, and let's be honest, Pete's not getting any younger, so if there's going to be any type of recognition for Pete and celebration, they need to do it soon, and why not now, and why not let the Reds get this little bit of pop, so to speak, and publicity to get people in the stands.
You are listening to the Adam the Computer Guy Show. Every Tuesday and Thursday at about 9:13 a.m., we get together and talk technology and topics related to technology. As a rather big baseball fan myself, with spring training starting in a couple weeks, we are discussing some of the issues and opinions that tie social networking and sports together. And my special guest is Mr. Harry Yeprem Jr., who is quite a guru in that field. Harry,
I'm going to put down my business card now from here on out.
Definitely.
Guru.
Guru and a person with interesting opinions and never at a loss for an opinion.
I'm a know-it-all, apparently.
And not a bad radio voice, if I should say so myself.
I don't know about that, but thanks again. Hey, one thing I do want to mention as far as social media, and I don't want it to slip my mind, the one thing that I've got out of social media as far as Facebook and Twitter is that I have met so many people who are of similar thinking when it comes to baseball and Reds fans, that if it weren't for Facebook and Twitter, I would have never met them. And that's the one thing that really impacts me when I think about it. I would go to Reds games before with maybe one or two of my closest friends. Maybe my wife would go with me, though actually we met pretty much as Facebook and Twitter were breaking. Not, we didn't meet because of that, but it's been about 12, 13 years ago when Facebook and Twitter were actually starting to break through and get hot. But there are so many people that I have met through Facebook and Twitter who have, you know, I've met them via the internet virtually, but then eventually got to meet them in person at Reds games. And we'll hang out under the smokestacks in center field at Grand American Ballpark, and I've made a lot of great friends that way, and we just have a great time talking on the internet and then getting together at games and having fun in person. So that's one thing I just can't, before I forget, I just have to mention the impact that's made as meeting new friends and actually having a group of people now that I get together with at Reds games.
Definitely, Harry. On a related topic, I was not aware that you met the lovely Beth through social networking. And
well, no, I didn't. I was saying I didn't.
Oh, okay, you didn't. Okay, see, I didn't have enough coffee. Okay, but let's get into a related topic, though.
Okay.
How has social networking affected dating and socializing even outside of sports? I remember having the 976 numbers and personal ads. Both of my parents met their second spouses through personal ads, and this was back in the late 70s, early 80s. And although we still have those, it's now pretty much done online.
Correct.
The cost is lower because you had to pay for a personal ad or pay for one of those phone lines. And how has that affected, I mean, not just sports fans interacting, but people meeting platonic friends also, not just a potential spouse. How has internet impacted that?
Well, like I said earlier, I've met so many people through Facebook and I've gotten to know people I consider friends now, not just Facebook friends, but true friends. As far as dating and personal relationships, I really can't speak to anything on a personal level as far as that. Me and my wife were married in 2003. So as I said, that's pretty much when Facebook and Twitter were really starting to take root in our society. The one thing I will say is, when I was in my 20s, if Facebook and Twitter were available, I shudder to think of some of the things that may have occurred or some of the things I may have gotten involved in. So it may be a good thing social media wasn't around when I was younger, because whereas it may have been fun for a single male, it may have led to some other things as well that may have not have been so good. But obviously, though, it has quite an impact. I mean, you see stories every day about people meeting online, people meeting through Facebook, and on Twitter, for whether pros or cons, whether it's good or not, you see a lot of flirting on Twitter. And while some of it is probably in fun, there are some instances where I kind of know the backgrounds of certain people, and you kind of cringe when you see some of the flirting that goes on via Twitter. So that's one of the things I try to stay away from as far as that. I'm not getting involved in that or trying to look for what some people call their Facebook or Twitter wife. I'm not into that, but it definitely has an impact.
If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
Adam Lapp.
Yes, that's my name. And talking technology topics, that's my game. We have a special guest today, Mr. Harry Yeprem Jr., from the Central Ohio area. He's also going to talk about his day job, which he does a lot of good.
My real job.
Yes, for the people in the Columbus area. Do you like my name jingle, Harry?
It's great. Yep. It's great. It harkens back to the good old days of radio.
Thank you very much. And that's the kind of radio we do here. We're kind of old school. We have some pretty cool guests. Marla Gibbs has been on the show, speaking with our esteemed general manager, Scott Spears. Mary Ellen Withrow was on earlier this week. I forgot to ask her how she signed all those dollar bills a few years ago.
Yeah, I know. That's a great... she must take most of her day signing those, and she does very good with that small penmanship.
And speaking of autographs, how has the internet affected the sports memorabilia business? I'm a big autograph collector. You come into my living room, I have a signed seat back from Pete. I have a autograph that Jose Rijo signed for me during a doubleheader a few years ago. I loved Jose Rijo, one of my favorite Reds of all time, and a bunch of other things that are kind of taking over my house. And how do you think the internet has changed the autograph memorabilia business, Harry?
Well, that's blown up. Now, I'm not really a big memorabilia autograph guy myself, but I know people who are involved in that, and especially on Facebook, that has blown up. You have dedicated groups as far as autographs and memorabilia. I mean, just type in your favorite team and memorabilia, and I guarantee you're going to find at least 4 to 5, if not more, groups you could get involved in that deal in selling autographs, trading autographs, memorabilia. I mean, that's exploded. Social media has really helped as far as exploding that market, which really could need it because obviously, I think probably in the 80s, early 90s, the autograph memorabilia genre was really, really big, especially around the Maguire-Sosa days, and then the bottom fell out. But now with social media, I think it's helped it. It's actually rejuvenated it, so definitely had an impact on that. So, I'm not big into it myself, though. I'm more of just a guy who likes to go take pictures of various stars or various Reds athletes and people at the caravan. But, yeah, it's big. It's big.
So, Harry, you do feel that social networking has helped the autograph and memorabilia?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely made a positive impact. For the basic reason, it gets people of similar interests and similar likes together now. They can actually, you know, get in a group and show everyone what they have to sell and what they have to trade, and makes it much, much easier to make that transaction.
Certainly. And we discussed Pete, certainly one of the greatest baseball players of all time. And how has social networking, Harry, of course, Pete Rose, number 14, how has Facebook and Twitter and those affected Pete's getting in or not getting into the Hall of Fame and Rob Manfred's decision not to reinstate him? Do you think that people's opinions and all the buzz in social media had an effect, or you think he said, forget it, I'll make my own decision?
I think it's had some impact. I'm sure it played some role. Though I get the feeling Manfred, he seems like a guy who has pretty much got 2 solid feet on the ground. I don't think a lot of things are going to sway his decision. I think it probably played a part. And Twitter, of course, has helped Pete. He's got his own Twitter account, in fact. Now, whether he's actually doing that or has an intern running it, he has his own Twitter account, and he'll respond to people, and I'm sure that's helped as well as far as making his case.
And speaking of someone about the same age as Pete, as a broadcaster of sorts, one of my idols is the great Marty Bredeman, Hall of Fame radio announcer for the Reds, and he is getting up there. I still think of him as being 35 years old like he was during the Big Red Machine, but he's 72 or so, and has a lovely wife, Amanda, who is a frequent contributor to Facebook on the Bredeman Report. Great to have her participate. She really knows the game well, and her not just her pictures, but I think what she has to say, it enriches the game and makes me proud to be a Reds fan.
Yeah, she is very interactive. She's done very well with that Brenneman Report Facebook page.
And even though Marty doesn't seem that old, he is in his 70s, and certainly at some time he will have to retire. I don't want that to happen because I think, as we've discussed on Facebook, Harry, none of the possible replacements could possibly hold his microphone.
Right.
Let alone be Marty. But how has, and I think most people agree with us, I mean, he is a bit controversial, but, I mean, people like hearing him. You talk about a wealth of knowledge and someone you can enjoy who kind of makes the troubles of the day go away just by hearing what he has to say.
Well, I'm going to be very honest. I grew up with Marty and Joe, and for those who may not know who we're talking about, as far as Joe Nuxall is Marty Brenneman's partner in the booth for many, many years. And Joe was a pretty good pitcher as well in the majors, and especially with the Reds. I grew up with them. I mean, many, many a night I would spend listening to Marty and Joe on the radio, transistor radio, portable radio, either on the affiliate here in Columbus or out of Cincinnati on WOW. So they were a big, big part of my life, and Marty still is. I still enjoy listening to him this day, and I know a lot of people have criticisms of Marty as far as being too negative. I don't see that. I think Marty's a straight shooter. I don't think he is negative just for being negative's sake. I think he calls it as it is. And I appreciate that. You listen to a lot of play-by-play and caller analysts on other broadcasting teams, they're horrible. I mean, all they are just shills for the team itself. And even if the team is playing horribly or if a player is dogging it, they won't say anything. They'll just, you know, go through the routine play-by-play, you know, one ball, two strikes, two outs in the inning, and they won't say anything. I appreciate that Marty is not afraid and actually takes it upon himself to point out when things are not going so well and when something needs pointed out. Like if a player's dogging it, if he's not running, you know, hustling down to first base, he'll say something about it. And he's not afraid as well to call out the current manager, Brian Price.
I agree,
as
Harry.
As far as his decision. I mean, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that so much. I'm glad we have, as Reds fans, an announcer who is not afraid to, you know, point things out when they're not going well or when somebody's not up to task.
Yeah, he has a way to be a big Reds fan, but not afraid to speak his mind, and I think it helps the team, kind of the same way that I am. I mean, I'm not one to shy away from saying that I'm not pleased that they have
right
traded away two players that brought people into the stands, Mr. Chapman and, of course, Todd Frazier. We know that economics is probably the number one
correct
influence on baseball, and I'm not overly thrilled about that, but I guess it is what it is. And
well, I know so many people, and like you said, yourself, so many people are disappointed that Frazier, Chapman, and Cueto have had to be dealt. And I'll be honest, too, I would love to see them still in Reds uniforms. But unfortunately, it's just the cold reality of the game itself. The Reds are not in a major market. They're in a mid-level market, so they have to make hard decisions like this. And the Frazier one really does sting after last year's spectacular All-Star Game festivities with him winning the Home Run Derby. I mean, yeah, that really, really hurts. But it has to happen with a team like the Reds. They, unfortunately, just don't have the payroll and the finances to keep players around when it looks like a big payday is right around the corner.
You are listening to the Adam the Computer Guy Show with me, Adam Lepp, your local computer technologist, IT generalist, and all-around interesting person. Speaking of interesting people, we have a special guest, a longtime friend via social networking of mine, Mr. Harry Yeprem Jr.
We're a good example ourselves as far as how social media works.
And discussing how sports and social media and the internet information age has had an influence. One last thing about Marty and the Reds, Harry. I don't think either of us want him to retire, but as I mentioned, he is in his 70s, although he seems much younger. How do you think the buzz on Twitter and Facebook and the fact that I'm sure 90% of people agree with it, even if you don't like Marty, you still kind of want to hear him. How is
right
the internet information age and social networking and his wife's excellent Reds report views, how is that going to influence when the retirement time finally does come?
Well, I think when Marty actually does retire, he won't just go away. I can't see him just, you know, shutting it down and spending all day in his house playing with his dog and reading books and things like that and watching TV. I think he will still want to find some sort of venue to get his opinion out there. So I could very well see him doing maybe like a special segment every day on WLW or some sort of show, maybe on a weekly basis, to get his opinion out there. So I think when Marty actually retires from the booth, I don't think he's gone for good. I think we will still hear Marty's opinion somewhere. In fact, I think Marty would make a great general show host, like just a regular radio show host, because I'm sure, and I've heard him from time to time when they do the Ask Marty segment, he has opinions on everything, not just baseball, and he's not afraid to share them. So if he were to do like a 3-6 show on a weekday basis, which I don't see happening, but if he did, I think he'd be great at it.
No objections here. Maybe he could be a guest on the show. We do have a lot of celebrity guests.
You should approach him, because I think he is very, very amenable as far as doing shows like yours. He seems to, I've heard him in various places you wouldn't think Marty would be a guest, so I would say reach out to him somehow and see if he would come on the show. I wouldn't be shocked if he did it.
I will see what I can do there, Harry. Harry Yeprem Jr. from the Columbus area, my special guest today on the Adam the Computer Guy show with me, Adam Lepp. Good morning. About 22 minutes before 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Buckeye Chuck and Punxsutawney Phil and all the other rodents that we like to talk about on the second. They did not see their shadow, and it's not too bad today considering that it's February, but gosh, yesterday felt like baseball weather, Harry, and I think we're getting spring training fever increasing by the hour. Sometimes in sports, Harry, we have to look at the dark side, or at least the gray side. I guess Johnny Football, they call him. He might be released due to his off-the-field antics. How do you think that people's opinions that they are not afraid to post on social media will affect that decision, as well as other decisions that look at some of the off-the-field antics of the athletes that we like to follow?
Well, I don't think it's going to affect the decision that much. I think pretty much the line has been drawn. The Browns are going to release him as soon as they get the chance, which I believe is 10 days after the Super Bowl. They can actually make the move official. So that's going to happen. What you will see is, of course, the memes and jokes and all that will follow afterward, after Johnny actually gets his official release, which should be fun to watch and fun to laugh at. But I'm going to be honest. I actually thought when the Browns made the pick, it wasn't a bad pick. And I thought Manziel had a future. Well, obviously, I was wrong. Manziel has just been a total flame out. And quite honestly, I'm not even so much afraid about his NFL career. I'm more afraid about just his life in general, the path he seems to be heading down. It's not like I have some great affection for the kid, but, you know, just from a human standpoint, you don't want to see somebody spiral out of control, you know, and end up like in jail or, God forbid, worse. That's the thing I worry more about as far as Johnny Manziel. Not so much whether the Cowboys are going to pick him up, but where's Johnny headed? I mean, it just seems like a really, really bad path in his life he seems to be heading down right now.
So we're saying, Harry, that the decision is just so obvious because he's had so many off-the-field problems.
They
have no other choice.
But there's no way they can hang on to him.
But after
even a team like Cleveland, right, even a team like the Browns can't hang on to this.
Even though after it happens, so that's when all the Facebook postings will be occurring and people will be sharing their opinion, and I'm sure there'll be some
poking fun.
Right, and that's kind of where I think social media can have an influence. Even if the decision is so obvious, it will occur after the fact. Whereas back 30, 40 years ago, there was no Facebook and the internet was not in the form it is in now. So we didn't have that avenue.
Right. There was no way I could, you know, 30 years ago, if a really odd decision or funny decision in sports happened, I guess I could make copies of what you would call a meme now and post them on traffic signs and polls. But nowadays, as soon as something happens, here come the funny jokes, here come the memes, and let her rip. You know, you'll have the sad face of Michael Jordan crying and so forth.
So I guess the bottom line with social networking and sports, Harry, is it has gone, there's good and there's bad and some things that don't really have a way to categorize. But for the most part, it probably has helped sports and helped people interact and helped, again, I think of Amanda Brenneman, Marty Brenneman's wife, how she has interacted with fans and put her Reds report Facebook page on, which I think is useful. You get to learn about the personal side of
right.
people. And broadcasters, again, I idolize Marty. There's no question as a broadcaster of sorts. The guy is absolutely amazing. And I think the bottom line is that social networking has helped. And
oh, I'm sure. Definitely. It helps sports, definitely. I mean, it's a marketing tool. Social media is the greatest marketing tool you can use right now, no matter what league or sport you're in. The NFL, they do a great job. Major League Baseball, NHL, they all do great jobs as far as social media. So it's pretty much free marketing for the most part. So, yeah, it's great. It's great as far as keeping the brand going and especially keeping the younger fan involved.
Now, the players certainly run the gamut. Some don't really care. They're busy with their families and their game, and some like to spread their opinions and entertain a bit. How about that dude, BP, Brandon Phillips? He's someone that likes to interact. Someone a bit controversial, but, you know, love him or hate him. Love his personality. In my opinion, he's the best defensive second baseman, certainly in my lifetime and possibly in history.
Yeah.
Certainly his Twitter and Facebook postings, which I'm sure we both follow. How do those affect perhaps how people perceive him?
Well, obviously it helps him. I mean, it can do nothing but help him because it brings him closer to his fans. Now, sometimes some of the things he posts are a little there and they make you scratch your head, like when it looked like he was going to head to Washington and meet with what he called Papa Pope, a.k.a. Dusty Baker. Yeah, he thought, all right, it's a done deal. He's going to Washington. Well, that's the case. But obviously, BP being on Twitter and interacting with his fans, that's a plus. I mean, it really, really brings him closer and makes him more of a person and not just a ball player as far as to those who admire him. Now, as far as Brandon himself, I agree with you. He's a great player. He's one of the best second basemen I have ever seen in my life. But unfortunately, for the way the Reds are constructed in their current rebuilding mode, I'm just not so sure Brandon Phillips is the right fit for this team. It'll be interesting to see how that develops as far as how the team approaches him and why his attitude will be going into this season.
So your feeling is that when players tweet and they Facebook, I'm not sure if Facebook's a verb, but we'll make it into a verb, just for this show, that it does benefit the game. It gets them closer to the fans. Someone like Brandon Phillips, so you feel you could go to he said he doesn't drink, so we'll see. He can go to the coffee shop and have a coffee and discuss sports and go bowling. That's fine.
Yeah. Go bowling with him because he talked a lot about bowling. The one person who really impresses me as far as Twitter is Jose Bautista, the right fielder for the Blue Jays. He interacts with his fans, but the one thing he does, whether he actually reads everyone's tweets or not, but the one thing about him that impresses me is actually he follows his fans back. Which, like I said, it might not be that big of a deal, but I would imagine, you know, some 14-year-old kid somewhere in Iowa gets a follow back from Jose Bautista. That pretty much has to make his day and excite him a little bit to know that, you know, this big superstar in Major League Baseball actually follows him on Twitter.
Yeah, I admire someone like that. I mean, I'm a diehard Reds fan, but I certainly have respect for many, many other players, and to me, that's better than an autograph. He's actually interacting with you and saying, thank
correct.
You for following me. Thank you
that's
for your
right.
opinion, and thank you for being a fan. Thank you for helping to pay my $15 million salary.
Yeah, and that can only help but garner him more fans and more respect.
Harry, let's close by having you speak about your day job. You do valuable work for a great nonprofit organization in Columbus, the Open Shelter, which helps many people, especially during this time of the year.
Yeah, in fact, right now as I'm speaking to you, I am unloading a donation from a local grocer. I don't know if I can mention their name, but it begins with a K and ends with an R. They donate pastries to us. And the Open Shelter is an agency right in downtown Columbus that helps the homeless and marginally housed. And we see on average each weekday 175 men, women, and children. And primarily we try to help them with basic needs, food, clothing, hygiene products, a hot meal, a sack lunch. But we also help with things like payships and money management. And in fact, we have a person today who's a representative from VITA, Volunteers and Tax Assistance. She will help people file their income taxes. So we also have supportive services that help people with medical issues, financial issues, employment issues. So just trying to help those who are most vulnerable in our community. And if people want more info, speaking of social media, probably the best way to get info about us right now is through our Facebook page, and that's facebook.com/theopenshelter. But we do have the tried and true website as well. Maybe a little outdated, but still gives you the basic info, and that's theopenshelter.org. So thanks, Adam, for letting me mention that as well.
On a related note, as a nonprofit person, who sees a lot of things in your job, and also have seen the changes in Central Ohio that we have witnessed over the last 15, 20 years. Do you think that Facebook has helped the Open Shelter and similar nonprofit organizations?
Oh, yes. Facebook and even Twitter. We are on Twitter as well, at the Open Shelter. It's been a tremendous help. In fact, one instance I can mention is just out of the blue, there was an organization out of Georgia a few years ago who approached us called Souls for Souls, and it's just because they found our Twitter page. Apparently, I had tweeted something out, and they had caught wind of it, and they tweeted back, and they actually brought, about 500 pairs of brand-new tennis shoes, dress shoes, boots, and came in and actually had some people from a wine company, I think it was called Barefoot Wine. They actually came in and helped fit the shoes for people, made sure they tried them on, felt the shoe, felt their feet, made sure everything fit okay, and just spent the whole day just making sure everyone that we serve, that we help, got a nice brand new pair of shoes or tennis shoes or boots. So yeah, that's one example of many how social media has helped our organization as well get the word out and help those people who need it.
So for nonprofits, organizations that help people, social media really has been a boon.
Oh, from my personal experience, yes. Yes, I think it really has helped, and it's a way to interact with our partners as well. We have many, many people who partner with us, either through food drives or as far as donating to us personally or through their business, and a lot of that is spurred on through our Facebook and Twitter pages. That's how they get to know us. I think that's more of an impact nowadays than even our traditional website. I think we get much more information out there and a lot more notice through our Facebook and Twitter pages as opposed to the website itself.
That's definitely a good thing with all the good work that you guys do.
Well, we couldn't do it without the support of the Central Ohio community, so we wouldn't exist. So to anyone who's listening, I'd like to thank them if they've helped us in some way or if they may be thinking of helping us.
Okay. Harry Aprem Jr. from Columbus, a longtime social media friend of mine, and I will admit we have never met F2F, but hopefully we can do that soon. I certainly have dropped hints, and he doesn't live very far from me, so I can assure you, Harry, we will meet F2F.
Sometimes. I would love, if I could ever find the time to break free, I would love to actually come up there to the studio.
That would be wonderful.
It would be a lot of fun to do this face to face, but unfortunately, with my job, it's a little hard for me to get up there to Marion, but if the opportunity ever presents itself, I would love to come in studio someday.
Definitely, and that way we can take some calls and take some Facebook messages and interact.
That would be great.
If you would like to ask Harry a question or make a comment, feel free to email me, adam@wwgh1071.com, or leave a message on our Facebook page. One last question, Harry. I guess you perused the new website. What do you think about the website for wwgh1071.com? Remember,
I think it looks great, and I have to be totally honest and upfront with you. I really appreciate what you and your cohorts there are doing. Now, I don't get to listen that often. I'm going to try to now after today, but I really appreciate small radio stations like yours. Because unfortunately, in today's society, it's a rare thing. And back when I was growing up, not to sound like that guy, but back when I was growing up, a station like yours was more of the norm. And unfortunately, that's no longer the case. You have maybe one or two or three at the most major media corporations who are running pretty much all the radio stations. So everything sounds the same. Everything's pre-programmed. I mean, the one story, the one thing I can always remember, it was like about 5-6 years ago. I was traveling through Northwest Ohio, up around Lima, Toledo, that area. And this was before I had satellite radio in the car and before I really had the internet available to me in the car, which you really shouldn't be doing, I guess. But anyway, I'm scanning around the radio stations trying to find something, you know, local to listen to, and everything I hit was Rush Limbaugh. I mean, it just seemed like everything I scanned to was Rush Limbaugh. And just, it's just sad, not to just, you know, take a shot at Rush himself, but it just seems like, unfortunately, you just get the same thing over and over and over, and with a few rare instances, you know, you'll get something like you're doing up there in Marion, where you actually have someone with a local voice and something, quite honestly, different to listen to.
I agree, Harry. We are eclectic, and just because we are a fairly small station doesn't mean we don't have some big-time guests on.
I saw the guest list. Impressive. I don't know how I got on that guest list, but it's pretty impressive.
Well, we like people from all walks of life, and you know, as a local person, Harry, you're a great guest. I mean, we can talk about nonprofit organizations and social media and websites. We can talk about the Reds and talk about baseball and football and their influence on social media and, of course, vice versa. Yeah, we had Abe Brigoda on several times.
That's great.
After his death, we had Hal Linden, his co-star on The Barney Miller Show, talk about Abe and how great of a guy he was to work with. We had Abe's daughter on. We've had Marla Gibbs on from The Jeffersons, one of my favorite actresses from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And always a surpriser, too, here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1. Harry, we hope to have you back on again. You've been a great guest.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully I've helped in some small way and haven't brought down the listenership there, but thank you so much for having me on.
You're a man with many opinions, and again, not a bad radio voice, if I should say so myself.
Well, apparently, according to many a few days ago, I'm a know-it-all, though I fight that. I don't want to be tagged that, but apparently, according to the opinion of some, I'm a quote-unquote know-it-all.
Well, that's fine with me. We like people with a wealth of knowledge and an opinion, and always a surprise. And of course, in the case of the Adam the Computer Guy show, wisecracks are welcome. In fact, they're actually encouraged. Any final thoughts, Harry, before we call it a day?
Not really. I just, once again, thank you for giving me the opportunity to be a guest on your show. I've enjoyed it quite a bit. I do have another website or Facebook page if people are interested, though it's been kind of dormant. It's facebook.com/thesportsbus. And on Twitter, @thesportsbus. Hopefully I can get that going again sometime soon, where I've done some blogging about various topics, especially sports. And we also have a little bit of an internet radio show through Blog Talk Radio, which we link to on there as well. So if people want to check that out, also on WordPress, The Sports Bus, feel free. Hopefully it'll give you a little bit of a chuckle or something to think about.
So you feel that the advent of WordPress and Facebook and websites has helped you out as a person who likes
comment on sports? Oh, yeah, definitely. It's gotten my opinion out there. Whether that's good or bad, it's up to the person reading it themselves or listening. But, definitely. And I enjoy, in fact, for another radio station for about a period of close to 2 years, I actually got to do social media and blog for them, and I enjoyed it so very, very much. Unfortunately, that station has moved on, but yeah, I got such a kick out of doing that, and hopefully through the Sports Bus thing, maybe I can kind of revive that in some small way.
Radio, Harry, is an addicting business. Addicting in a good way. It's a lot of fun. It's very rewarding.
I've always had a dream of working in radio, and for whatever reason, I've never really pursued it or had the chance. I've pretty much, I won't say sidetracked, but I've gotten involved in other things, like my current job. So, but the few times I've actually got to do things like this and actually co-host a show, I got to do that a couple of times live, a sports show. as my car seems to be going off crazily. I apologize for that. I really enjoyed it. Enjoyed it quite a bit. So, no, I love talking about radio. I love, obviously, listening to the radio. Radio's been a big part of my life.
Be careful what you wish for, Harry. You are on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH, named after our president, of course, Warren G. Harding, 107.1 FM. And be careful what you wish for, because you're on the Adam the Computer Guy show.
Well, and thanks again, Adam. It's been a pleasure.
And this show, like all of our recent broadcasts, is available for your downloading and listen on demand at our website, WWGH1071.com. Excuse me. Haven't had enough coffee yet. Just click on Show Archives, and there they are. Thanks again, Harry, for our guest on the Adam the Computer Guy show. Have a great day.
Thank you, Adam.
Hopefully we will talk to you soon. This is the Adam the Computer Guy Show, a twice-weekly feature on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1. Adam Lepp here, about ready to wrap up another adventure into the broadcasting world. Want to thank my special guest, Harry Yaprem Jr. Feel free to look him up on Facebook. He has a lot of interesting opinions and erudite information. There we go, if that makes any sense. If you'd like to be a guest commentator, call-in guest, or in-studio guest, feel free to email me, adam@wwgh1071.com. Would love to have you. Of course, give me a call anytime that I'm on the air, which is 9:13 a.m. until 10 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday at 740-383-9944. Coming up in about 14 minutes, it is Charlie Evers, a broadcasting legend here in Marion. He'll be on until noon. Feel free to call him at 740-383-9944. Adam Lepp here, wishing you a good weekend. Be sure to drive safely. Please don't text and drive. I'll talk to you on Tuesday at about 13 minutes after 9 a.m. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.